going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We have it on the monitors. It's a fair and balanced show. We like to get all perspectives, all angles. So
you got
to
tell them why.
We're excited to be watching and monitoring Fox and Friends. We're like Media Matters. We monitor all that's going on in the political news landscape. Oh, yeah. And apparently Joe Flacco is going to be on Fox and Friends. Jeff Thomas, who knew exactly where Fox and Friends was on the cable provider that we have in studio, he is rolling on it in the background.
I was like, he's on. I can't believe he's on. I was like, okay, I'll turn it on. I was like, what channel is it? He goes, 38. Don't act like you don't know. I'm like, I have no idea.
I know exactly what channel it's on. Let's go. What do you think Flacco is going to talk about?
You have been the cause of so many nasty emails and DMs for me because it's just all you. The Ohio State stuff, the other stuff. I don't know what Joe Flacco is going to talk about. I'm interested to hear. I'm very interested to hear what Joe Flacco is going to discuss.
Flacco, a family man. He has five kids.
Five children he has.
Very curious to have him share his perspective. He was on a flight. I think he was on a flight to Fort Lauderdale yesterday.
Getting ready to do the Jay Feely after his career.
Right. Yeah. If anybody didn't know, in Arizona, he announced his congressional run. He had his whole family there. Maybe is that what Flacco is doing? His post-career plans?
Could he run for mayor of Cleveland?
He goes on another playoff run.
Yeah, it's... Oh, boy. He's right there. I don't know if that'd be good. When do they have the next mayoral race here? Is that next year?
Already?
It's not this year, is it? It hasn't been that long, but it may have been long enough. I'm not sure. Cavs played last night. Did you know this? They won last night. Did you know that? It's a 2-0 series. I am stopping short. Lima says the series is over.
Yes.
Lima says dunzo cremunzo. We got Mary Kay at 8:22. I don't know why I told you that other than she's going to say some wild stuff. But it's wild that Lima says that the series is over. You believe the series is over?
Yeah, Cavs are way better than the Heat. They have a ton of advantages in this series. I am surprised. Don't get me wrong. I'm surprised at home in a game you shot 49% from three and hit 22 threes, which they may not do that the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That it's a 2-point game in the fourth quarter. It reminded me of
Miami was playing well, guys. If they weren't playing well, the game would have never been close.
Between Tyler Hero, Davion Mitchell, who got inserted in the starting lineup, those two feasted on our lack of perimeter defense, which you could bet. Kenny Atkinson said nice things afterwards. You could bet that Atkinson will be grilling them. When's the next game? Are they
on Saturday? 1 p.m. You and I are supposed to get together and watch the thing.
Oh, that's right. So. Yeah. After our card convention that we're going to be at, the Greeny card convention.
Yep.
So I'm very interested to see, granted on the road for an early matinee tilt, how they will shore that up because they're going to go up against way better than Tyler Hero and Davion Mitchell, you know, throughout the rest of the playoffs.
I just texted the mayoral races this year. Well, Joe versus Justin is going to be a hell of a race. Now Lima's looking it up. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
So I am surprised that they had their way with us. That Tyler Hero, he's had big playoff games before, and especially he had play-in moments this year. I think he had what? He had 40 in a game. I mean, he is capable of going off. But Davion Mitchell is not somebody I expected to take advantage of our perimeter D the way that he did. Because, I mean, guys, it's going to get tougher. But with that said, I don't think the Heat can sustain anything like that. And so I think this series is basically a wrap. The fact that they got it down to two, had a chance. I think they had a chance to take the lead with a wide open three. I was surprised at the open looks that they were getting.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. I don't think that the series is over because of last year's history and because Darius Garland said this in the postgame.
What's the key to playing clean basketball like that against a team like that?
Pick on Tyler Hero and take care of the ball. Don't play in tight spaces and pick on their weak defenders. Go at them.
Now, somebody said this morning they're trying to get into Tyler Hero's head, and because if you force Tyler Hero to play hero ball, maybe that's going to be in your advantage. And you know what? That's a hell of a point. But, you know, Donovan can talk like that. But when Darius Garland talks like that, it's like, well, Donovan is the one who has to answer for it because Donovan's the leader of the team. He's the leading scorer. And he's the one who took the ball game over last night late in the fourth quarter. It makes me remember last year against Orlando. I have a longer memory. Yes, this Cavs team is better than what they were last year. That's for certain. Yes, they are better than the Miami Heat. Yes, they are. And yes, I still think the Cavaliers will win the series, but I'm not willing to say series over because of that, because of last year, because of all of it. It ain't going to happen. Not yet. 216-474-0092. You agree with Tone or I? Mike in Cleveland, thanks for holding your first up on the fan. Mike.
So can you hear me?
We got you. Go ahead.
Love your show. I'm going to say this. I'm with you, Ken, because of the fact that right now it's on Donovan Mitchell. You know, he has, you know, he got that look where, you know, he don't want to lose. You know what I'm saying? But that game, you know, the game yesterday, that 19-point lead, I'm not saying it got me scared. I know they're going to win the series, but it got me thinking that they could split in Miami.
Yeah, it's like because it's weird because it's I'm saying, well, I don't think they're going to lose the series. Well, then why won't you say the series is over? Because I don't think the series is over. The series being over means that they're going to win in the next two games and that this game, right, the series isn't coming back to Cleveland. Exactly. And when Darius talks tough like that, well, it better not come back to Cleveland. Because I think that, you know what, if this thing does come back 2-2, fans remember those words because I ain't going to let you forget them. And now all of a sudden we got ourselves a little bit of a dust up here. Because last year it started out, things were so wonderful. They beat the brakes off Orlando the first two games of the season, or first two games of the series. And then again, I'm sitting on a cruise ship in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico last year, checking updates, thinking that we were going to lose in the first quarter of Game 7.
Right, right. So is it all that comes back? All that comes back. And that's why I'm saying, Anthony might be a little right, but I'm saying I think they're going to split.
Well,
that's
what I think. And it's tough for me to go against it. Mike, thank you for the patience in the call. It's tough for me to go against it because I think that Kenny Atkinson in two games, I think he's done a remarkable job. I love the challenge that he did last night. I think that's obviously gone viral, that moment, the challenge late in that basketball game. I think that he's done all the things that you're supposed to do so far in this series. Eric Spoelstra is a future Hall of Famer. He's got a career of experience in the postseason. Most guys don't get to coach as many. Some guys don't get to coach as many games as NBA head coaches total as what Eric Spoelstra's coached in the postseason. So credit where it's due. And Kenny Atkinson's done a tremendous job. But we're only two games into this thing. I don't even base it on giving up the 19-point lead yesterday. I just look at it and go, it's still Miami. It's still going to be a tough out. It's still a better team than what I think we want to realize without Jimmy Butler. It's not better than Cleveland. It is a legitimate 8 seed, and that's all I'm saying. I just believe in a Game 5 back in Cleveland. But I'm telling you, if you have a Game 5 back in Cleveland and it's not 3-1, it's 2-2, that clip of Darius Garland is going to be in people's heads.
True.
Because remember
what
happened last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say
you're putting pressure on where you don't need to put pressure on.
Yeah, this team with Atkinson, number one in the NBA, as the kids say, with a bullet in offensive rating. I think they're at 132.5. Last year, they were If memory serves me correctly, 14 out of the 16 playoff teams in offensive rating the year before, dead last, 16th in offensive rating. Of course, those teams didn't have Ty Jerome, which has been a huge, huge help to this team. And just everybody. Everybody, you could tell offensively. Now, we got defensive problems, and I'm not totally alarmed. I do know that the competition is going to get a lot stiffer because, you know, the advantage you have in this series is you got Donovan Mitchell. They don't. When you play Boston, they got three guys that can be Donovan Mitchell. They got Porzingis. They got Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown looked sensational yesterday. Yeah. Well, and they got Tatum.
Hey, I ain't talking about that. I'm only talking about this series. By the way, a lot of people are already correcting me because I said Gulf of Mexico.
Oh.
We do have Fox and Friends on right now in the studio.
That's right.
Ready for Joe
Flacco. You better get that right. You don't want anybody going after you with power.
James in East Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, James.
Listen, definitely this series is over. Sorry, kid, man. And I'm normally with you.
No, that's fine. Tell me why. I'm not going to fight you on it. Tell me why. Yeah, well, I might fight you on it.
Too much firepower. Too much firepower. We way too deep. We legitimately like 10 deep, really. I think our second string can give them a good round for it. But let me say this ultimately.
So you're saying, if you're saying the series is over, the series is not coming back to Cleveland?
Definitely not.
Okay.
And let me say this, Ken. I'm looking at Andrew Wiggins out there. Looking so bummish, looking so scrawny. I had to go back to when you talked me off the ledge for that Kevin Love trade, and people didn't want to trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love that brought us that championship. Mm-hmm. You talked me off the ledge. You said, man, trade him. And I'm not looking at Andrew Wiggins. Man, we never would have had that championship. That boy looked just lost in the sauce, never lived up to that potential. All they got is Tyler Hero, man. We way too deep.
I will tell you this, James, I remember that night. Lyman, do you remember that night you were on with me? It was my – I remember so well because, James, thank you for the call.
We were getting screaming matches with some of the people.
Because it was my birthday. I remember it specifically. And they take Andrew Wiggins and we hear the rumors are out now. And it was Woj and everybody like, hey, Kevin Love would be open to a trade to Cleveland. I go, ship him off. Get rid of him. And – I mean, we were dumping callers. Now, you made it a little bit easier, since we agreed with each other, you made it a little bit easier for me to be the bad guy. But, like, the next night I had to go out, I had to go by myself, and it was knockdown dragouts for 5 hours about that trade. And it ended up working out. And, by the way, Andrew Wiggins, no, in that draft he was the number one overall pick, but no, he's not that type of difference maker. He has gotten better as time has gone on. I know that there's been some confidence issues there with Andrew Wiggins and things like that, but... Guys, I'm not saying that Miami is going to win the series. No. But when you say, I just don't want the series to be any longer than what it needs to be. And when Darius said that, he might be blowing off steam about how they guard Darius. Okay. But I just didn't feel like that needed to be said. I felt it could have been handled a little bit more eloquently. And those are the type of things that stick with a team that's going to be a try-hard team that's going to run smart basketball the way that Miami's going to do it. And when you told me that Max Strus had a heating pad and Darius himself is limping around, it's let's get out of here in four games.
Yeah,
and forget this silliness.
Yeah, Mitch, get on this. Do we hear anything from Atkinson or the Cavs afterwards or even Darius? Because he was noticeably limping and they kept him out there. And it was a stretch of like 8 minutes where he was limping throughout, and I'm talking in game time, not in real time.
There's nothing in my cut sheet, but we'll revisit this coming up later in the show. You can promise yourself that. Let's get to Mary Kay Cabot, who joins us right now, Cleveland.com, and the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, we need to aggressively pursue who?
Well, I would aggressively pursue Jalen Milroe if they draft Travis Hunter at number 2 overall. I'm not saying they will do this. I'm just saying that after doing my due diligence and talking to people and watching him and talking to him, that is someone that I feel has the rare, unique traits that is worth taking a chance on and worth maybe even giving up a little bit of draft capital to take that chance. So that is definitely something I would be doing.
Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain. But you know what this is because you say things – And Mary, don't hang up on me, all right? you say things, and at first we go, what? Like when you said, oh, Miles is staying. This is a negotiation tactic. And Lyman and I turn our mics off. We go, what? And then you're always right.
We made faces, Mary
Kay. You're always right,
Mary
Kay.
We're glad there were no cameras here.
And so when you say, when you tell me on draft day that we need to aggressively pursue, that's your quote, Jalen Milroe, I go, oh, my God, they're going to aggressively pursue Jalen Milroe. Mary Kay knows something. That's how I think.
No, I'm telling you, in this instance, this is something that I would do, and I actually don't think they will do this. I don't think they will do this. I'm just telling you that I think it would be well worth doing. They don't like to give up draft capital. They don't really necessarily like to move up in a draft. That's not really their way. But I would not count on this. I would not bet on this. But that is something that I would do. And the reason why I'm saying it, even though I don't think they'll do it, is because when we look back on this draft, I want to know if I was absolutely way off base on this player or if there was something to him. And when I look back on the 2018 draft, I did a whole lot of diligence on Josh Allen and arrived at the conclusion that he should be the number one overall pick. And I was vocal about that. I didn't know if they would do it or not. I actually thought on the last day that maybe they would go ahead and do the right thing and pull the trigger on Josh Allen, but they didn't. And so that's what this is. This is basically me saying, here's a player that I think is worth taking a risk on.
Mary Kay Cabot, basically telling everybody, yeah, I got receipts. I got receipts and I'm Mary Kay Cabot.
All right.
So we've been kind of locked in here. It seems like depending on the week, we always thought we knew who the Browns were going to take, which I guess is just the Browns doing their job. But Mike Florio said yesterday, the Browns, it's common knowledge around the league, they've been open for business about selling the number two pick. But yet the odds are all in on the Browns taking Travis Hunter. So what is it? Is it really going to take some monumental offer? Or are the Browns more willing to do business than people might think?
I think it would take a monumental offer. They have at their disposal right now two players in one in Travis Hunter. So they can get a Pro Bowl caliber receiver and a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback by staying right where they are. So you would have to give them something pretty great for them to move off of that spot. That's the only way that they will do it. Does somebody see enough in Travis Hunter or maybe even Abdul Carter to climb up there and make the Browns an offer they absolutely can't refuse because they are not giving this pick away?
What would you be willing to give up for that number two pick? Or what would you be to move off the number two pick? What would it take? I should say, sorry, Mary.
It absolutely depends on where you are coming up from. So if you're expecting the Browns to move back to the middle of the first round, then you're going to have to give up a whole lot more than you would if you are in the upper part of the first round, and then a little bit less, you know, even more if you're in the lower part. So it just all depends. I'm sure that they have fielded calls from a number of different spots, a number of different places, but unless somebody knocks their socks off, they're not moving off of Travis Hunter.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So you say you would aggressively move up, and you mentioned for Jalen Milroe. Do the Browns move up from 33 for anybody? I know I read a report that the Broncos are shopping the 20th overall pick. Teams have called. We know that the Steelers are at 21. So we start to wonder, okay, who's that team? Could it be the Cleveland Browns? Would they move back into the first round?
You know what? Once again, I doubt it. I really do doubt that they will do that. That just really isn't their way, especially right now. Right now, they need to add talent on this football team. They need elite football players to be able to get off of 3-14 and go where they want to go. So I don't really think that they will do this. But once again, Andrew Berry is opportunistic. He is aggressive. He likes to wheel and deal. So anything can happen. Anything can happen this weekend. And he has told us that. I asked him at his...
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This pre-draft press conference, is everything still on the table just in terms of trading up, staying put, trading down? He even added in there trading the pick for a veteran. So the only thing that appears to be off that table right now is trading up, because the Titans have said they're not trading away from that pick. So anything else is still fair game. But I really don't think that they are going to move up and aggressively pursue anybody in that first round. I think they'll wait and let the player fall to them.
Will Greg Newsom still be a Cleveland Brown by 8:29 tomorrow morning?
Oh, that's a great question. I threw him into my list of keep an eye on this, just because if the Browns do end up with Travis Hunter, the receiver cornerback, and they sign Nick Needham and they've done some other things, maybe they would think about moving Greg if, once again, they get an offer that they can't refuse. Now, that's the key here. They are not out there actively shopping Greg or necessarily any of their veterans, but they are open for business. So if they feel that they can get some good value in return, then perhaps they would think about it. I don't know if they would or not. Of course, they're not going to tell us heading in. But I do think that that's one maybe to keep an eye on, because he's in the final year of his contract. He's playing on his fifth-year option, and they would have to extend him, and they have to decide if and how they want to do that. So I'll say that he's going to be still on the team, but I do think they might get some calls on him.
You know, we're going to have Jay Paterno on at 9 o'clock to talk about Abdul Carter, maybe even the very talented tight end that Penn State had this year. But it doesn't seem right now like Abdul Carter is going to be the pick at two.
What's his name, Tone? Do you remember his name?
Well, I think he's going to be talking us into it. Is there a chance he could talk you into Abdul Carter? What happened to Abdul Carter?
Well, I think part of it with Abdul Carter was the fact that he just did not get a chance to go out there and dazzle teams with great workouts. And sometimes there's a little bit of what have you done for me lately type of thing. The Browns had a really, really nice dinner with him, and other teams have too. And all you have to do is look at his tape to absolutely know what he's all about. I don't think anything has happened to Abdul Carter except for the fact that he hasn't been able to work out. And I think he's going to go very high, maybe as high as number three overall. So I don't think anything's really happened to him. But in terms of the Browns, I think they know that they need some explosive offense. I think when you have the best player in the NFL draft at your disposal there at number two, that you would probably go with him ahead of Abdul Carter.
So how do they plan if they take Travis Hunter? How do they plan on sharing him?
Well, he would be a full-time receiver, and then you give him as much cornerback as he can possibly handle. Why not? Give him more than you think he can handle and see if he can handle it. There's only one way to find out what he's going to be able to do, and that's give him as much as you possibly can, and then you can dial it back from there. But I would think that he would be up for a whole lot. He is different. He is a unicorn, as Andrew Berry described him. And so I would be getting as much out of him as you possibly can.
Have you heard the Browns at all connected to Will Howard, the Buckeye quarterback that went on a special run in the postseason last year to win the national championship?
I really have not, but I will say this. I have been saying throughout this whole draft process that I would probably take two quarterbacks in this draft. Now, that's back when I thought they were still really, really high on Shedeur Sanders, and I was thinking Shedeur at number two and then coming back and taking another quarterback later in the draft, such as a Kyle McCord or maybe even a Will Howard, just to have a developmental quarterback in your building. But I really have not heard them connected very much to Will Howard, and it just depends on where he falls to. The Browns are value hunters. They're big-time value hunters, and if they find a player like that somewhere where he has dropped below where they have him graded, they will take that chance.
I said it was a sight for sore eyes seeing JOK walk back into the facility yesterday, Mary Kay. Do we know anything beyond that? Is this reason to believe now he's back, he's gotten the second or third opinion that he needed, he's going to be playing football again, or is it still too early to tell?
It's still too early to tell. It's way too early to tell. And when I asked Kevin Stefanski about this yesterday, he said he has been in and out of the building throughout the offseason. We didn't know that, of course, because they weren't filming those guys going in and out. So I think it's a great sign that he's there. And I know he's probably there receiving treatment. But I don't know if that means anything in terms of him getting back on the field. And every single thing that we've heard from the Browns about this is there's no time frame. It's nebulous. And I think they're trying to temper the expectations for him.
Mary Kay, how important is offensive line this weekend?
I think it's important. I do think it's important. I think that you will see them draft an offensive lineman fairly high somewhere in this draft. And why do I say that? Because Andrew Berry tells us all the time that he's an offensive line snub. And we know that Jack Conklin is in the final year of his contract or getting to the point where maybe they're going to have to think about replacing him. And Dewan Jones, they're not 100% certain that he can stay healthy. Tackles are vitally important, and so are other positions on the offensive line. So I would think that they will be looking for one or two.
All right, Mary Kay, we thank you so much for the time. You're a wonderful individual, and you've certainly given us a lot to talk about, notably Jalen Milroe. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Obviously, Milroe looks like a heavy-duty project at this stage.
Yeah.
So what do you think the patience would really be with somebody like him? Running the ball, I mean, that guy looks like Lamar Jackson. And
it's faster than Lamar Jackson.
It's tough to say like by the eyes that anybody's faster than Lamar because in the open field, you know, some guys might test faster, but then you see him. But Milroe is extremely explosive. But can he ever throw the football, break down defenses, understand all that stuff that comes? Like, I've always heard, oh, but once you get to the NFL, you get better coaching and development. That's true, because they're running different types of stuff. But will he ever have truly the time to be able to do that?
Don't tell me she don't know.
Does she know again?
She knows something.
How does she penetrate the walls of Berea?
People, every time Mary Kay says something, people go, she's crazy. Yeah, the Browns are never known to do anything crazy. Never. And then she ends up being right. How is that always possible?
It's going to be like Hegseth. Who are the leakers? We're going to find the leakers.
Calm down. I'm turning off the Fox
Who
and Friends.
Who are the leakers?
I knew you would do this.
Somebody's got to be leaking.
Joe Flacco's appearance is over. I'm turning off the Fox and Friends. You need to relax. Why is one of his sideburns longer than the other?
Yeah, we've been wondering.
All right, that's all I got on that issue. So let me tell you this. If they came back with Jalen Milroe tonight, I may sew my face to the carpet floor in this studio. Because there were people going, oh, you got to take him in the first round. I'm going, no, you don't. And then they played Michigan, and I thought that that would settle it. I thought that that was it. And yes, he is a physical specimen. And yes, he has got all the mental capabilities of what you would want out of a quarterback. Those are all fair. If they took him tomorrow night, I'd be fine with it. If you take him in the first round, that means you're giving up something to go get him, and I'm just going to be beside myself. And I ain't mad at the kid. I'm mad at the situation. I'm not even mad at the situation. I just don't like the situation. You don't have the time. He is raw. And I know there's highlights going around on the internet all over the place. Yeah, well, I can find highlights too. He played at Alabama, for crying out loud. You could find highlights of the guy. But I'm going, my God, I think it was my buddy Nick Kovac who said he wasn't even in the top five of the SEC. No, was that Nico? No, that was him. Weren't even in the top five of the SEC. Don't do that. Don't move back in the first round for him. Please don't do that. Because that means you're going to play him too soon. And you know what's going to happen. We've been down that road many times. You guys know what's going to happen. You want to take, even at 33, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I know. Well, I'm really wondering if tonight is going to be a long night for Browns fans. And what I mean by that, not in a bad way, I mean long night meaning you're up until midnight because the Browns are pulling a trade up at the end of that first round.
Funny you should say that. Now, Mary Kay doesn't necessarily think so. Todd McShay, he thinks something's cooking.
There's been a lot of noise, and now the noise isn't just outside with the media. The noise is everywhere. It's phone calls are being made. That number two pick is someone trying to move up. Apparently, there's a team out there that is like Travis Hunter crazy. But I can tell you, like, calls are being made now, and I'm curious because I feel like something's about to happen. Something's coming.
That's Todd McShay on the McShay Show on his podcast, Ringer. Something, there's a brouhaha coming.
Yeah.
Two, they're open for business, it seems. Would they be willing to move back in?
Then we got the golden ticket. Hold on. Then we got the golden ticket at number two. The problem is what people are going to say invariably is, well, then why aren't you taking them? Just take them. You're desperate. You have all these needs. You've got this, apparently, according to everybody, especially the last 2 weeks, this superstar to end all superstars at number two. Just take them. Now, I've kind of said if they could extract picks out of this draft, which has been commonly referred to as a down draft and stock up. Browns need a lot of young players. They need a lot of draft picks to cash in. You know, one guy isn't necessarily going to make all the difference in the world, and they need to recoup all the stock that they have lost with the Deshaun Watson move. Then if you could extract something out of this,
name
that's a coup.
All days. We're not doing that anymore. We got a first round pick. We're getting better today. I'm not mentioning that guy.
Understand.
What were you saying?
That this, if they pull this off, I mean, that would be pretty amazing, but I know fans won't like it.
No,
They're going to be thinking Phil Taylor, Julio Jones.
Oh, you're talking about trading out?
Yes.
See, I thought you were talking about going up for a quarterback.
But I'm getting to that too, because, you know, Mary Kay brought it up in the sense that she sees the dynamic there. Travis Hunter to trade up to get Milroe. I don't know why the two of those need to necessarily be linked, though. Like, I don't know why it has to, like, first of all, if they take Abdul Carter, right? They take Abdul Carter.
Why am I giving up anything for projects? Projects are supposed to be that. They're like, okay, they're there, and I know he's a project, but we're going to take him. Why am I giving up things projects?
Do you remember Lamar Jackson was not considered a project? It was just they didn't think he could throw the ball well enough, but he had shown signs of doing it. Milroe has not shown any signs of being able to do that.
It's either a bomb or he's taken off and running. So why do
when first read is gone,
why do I want to do that? Why do I want to give up more picks for a project? If you took him tomorrow, I'll find a way to live with it. If you took him later on in the draft, certainly I'd love it. I wouldn't love it, but obviously I'm not going to sit there and lose my mind over it, for crying out loud. If you move back up into the first round, it's nonsensical. Because if you take it's a quarterback. The whole thing, the whole season, the whole league is ran on quarterbacks. So why aren't you showing passion for the quarterback like you would with the other position? It doesn't make that much sense. If you were to move back, say, if there was a team that was willing to move up that high for Travis Hunter and you wanted to take a guy later on in the first round, fine, be my guest if you wanted to get another first round pick. But I just do not get it. I don't get that. moving back up for him is not sensical to me. Giving up more picks for a quarterback that you're not even passionate about.
I am kind of with you on this.
Because if you were that passionate about it, you would say he's more important than Travis Hunter.
Yeah, but to be fair...
thank you, Champions Post.
But to be fair, me and you have not been in on him at all. So if the Browns just have a totally different read on what he is, it is amazing he was invited to the draft. It's incredible to me. Like, are we way off?
So was Malik Willis.
I know, but in this case, are we? Where was he taken?
Third round.
Oh God.
Yeah.
So Milroe. I mean, can you imagine if he fell to the third round?
That'd be if he fell to the third round, he was at 67. Fine, turn the card in. We'll see.
Yeah, at least you wouldn't have traded anything to get him.
What the hell? I'll what the hell a quarterback in the third round? You want to do that? That's fine, because that doesn't stop me from taking a quarterback next year at the top of the draft. But if you're going to trade back into the first round, you're passionate for it. But you're not passionate enough to tell me that this guy is going to change your franchise. So we're just giving up more for a guy we're not even passionate about? Greg in Hudson, congratulations on all your success. You're next up on The Fan. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how's you doing, guys?
Doing wonderful.
I just wanted to comment on Mary Kay's assessment of Jalen Milroe. If I was drafting, if I had a draft board set up right now, I wouldn't even have this guy on my draft board.
Ooh.
Just hear me out here.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Physically, I'm not going to argue. He can run like a deer. He cannot throw the ball at a professional level. He does not throw people open. He does not have no touch on the ball. He has no arm strength to throw into windows. I don't think he's very bright at reading coverages. And here's the thing that really stirs me about him. He played at Alabama for 2 years. He was a starting quarterback at Alabama. Arguably one of the most talented colleges in the country. The guy never won a bowl game. So where's the leadership here? I don't understand where all these people are getting, going gaga over this guy. It's just another example of the NFL. They have to have quarterbacks drafted in the first round or the league's going to go under. They forced these guys in here. These guys now, if they were in last year's draft, wouldn't even be drafted in the first round.
I mean, everything you said, Greg, makes him out to be a perfect project that you wouldn't take in the first round.
Exactly.
I hate to put it like
this. Does Anthony Richardson ring a bell to you?
Well, I think what it becomes, though, is the draft is a giant TV show. That's why they made it 3 days long. And if it's a weak draft class for quarterbacks, it's going to create a conversation of where this guy goes, because I do not think TV producers care if he's sitting. I don't think they care if he's sitting in the green room. I do not think they care at all. It's your decision to accept the thing or not.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, well, but that's what they want. That's what they want.
It's good TV, though.
Yeah, it's great television. Because I'll sit there tonight if he's falling out of it.
What about the guy whose job just depends on drafting these guys, like the GM, for example?
If you don't like him, you sit there and let him wait. It was his decision to accept the invitation, not mine. I didn't make.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what about these guys? What is going through their minds making these decisions? Their jobs depend on this stuff, And I don't get where they're moving this guy up the charts, and willing to give draft capital away for him.
I really don't think they are. I totally agree with you, Greg. I totally agree with you, and I got to let you go. And I thank you very much for the call. I totally agree, but this is a giant television show. I don't think I think it's very easy to find a lot of general managers and goes, he's smart. He comes from great family. He did go to a place like Alabama. These are three great things here. He's a physical specimen. Four great things there. It's a bad draft class for quarterbacks. They're not a great draft class for quarterbacks. Do you think a team would take a risk on him? Hell yeah, a team would take a risk on him. I mean, look at the guy. He's a fantastic athlete. And if he had the proper amount of time, he might be able to reach the ceiling. Okay, let's send him an invitation, see if he'll go to the draft. Because if he accepts the invitation and he goes high in the draft, we're talking about him like crazy. If he accepts the invitation and he just sits there, people are going to feel bad for him. And then they'll still talk about him. And we'll still keep going back to the green room or wherever they're sitting. I think it's a giant parking lot up there in Green Bay tonight. And they'll go, nobody's taking Jalen Milroe. And someone's going to go, shades of Malik Willis a few years ago, right? Yeah, yeah. And they'll keep going to the board. And they'll keep going back to Mel Kiper. And they'll keep talking about where he is on the board. It's a television show. And other guys have been sucked into it before, and he might be the latest one. And so it's still going to be up to him, no matter where he's drafted, if it's tonight or if it's in the third round tomorrow night. It's still up to him, because one of the best stories that we like to tell, I know he's kind of turned into whatever, Aaron Rodgers. It's one of the best stories ever. He sat there in the green room for, what, 27 picks?
An eternity.
Exactly. And then there's one of the worst stories ever, where Johnny Manziel sat in the green room for 22 picks. And it's all a conversation that we all remember, and it's what the NFL ultimately wants.